So I'm Tammy Higginson, and I'm part of the leadership team here at Washington Heights, and it is a joy and a privilege to be here with you this morning and learn together about what God has in His Word and how it applies to our lives individually and as a group. So for the last several weeks, we've been looking at this finding freedom from religion, right, in the book of Galatians. And we got a couple weeks to go still. But really strange is a lot of people, and even me, I grew up in a religion, right? So this coming together feels like that's what it is. But Paul is telling us, the Apostle Paul, he's saying that's not what it is. What it is about a relationship and freedom. Freedom to sometimes we mess up. And you know what? That's where the growth happens. And so as we journey today, we're going to be, if you have your Bibles, in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. And we're going to talk more about this freedom, but we're going to find out that we're not alone inside the freedom that we have. And so let's look at a statement right at the very beginning, who we are in ourselves. It's really not a question, because I think we know, and often I don't like who I am. But God has already written who we are. So let's just stick with the text and see what this is. Hang on while we go through this too, because it gets a little heavy, but God's not going to leave us there. So let's do this together. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So if you don't find yourself in any of that, Paul left room. It's not an exhaustive list, right? Sins like these. So we are all in this together. So that's who we are in and of ourselves. And it would just be a bummer if that's where we were left, but we're not. There's a change we can experience. And boy, do we want change? I do. Let's see what that's about. Let's go back to the scripture here. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I really love that part. Because if you knew me in the 70s or 80s, I know what you're thinking. Well, she's a lawbreaker. Because I was. In fact, I went to jail once. And it's not something I'm proud of, but I did. And it went like this. Hey, Mom, I'm actually staying over at Jody's tonight. And then here's Jody. You tracking with me? Hey, Mom, I'm staying over at Tammy's tonight. We had no intention of that, right? We were not going to be staying anywhere. We were out on the town, and we were going to do whatever we wanted for as late as we wanted, and here's how it went. We're at Sandridge Park, for those of you that know Roy, and we're sitting in the bleachers, and we're figuring out what are we going to do, and boom, it's probably midnight, the spotlight's on us. And we take off running. Well, that was stupid. And the spotlight follows us. And we're just stop. And he says, get back here. So we go to the car. And he says, what are your names? And we lie. We lie. And we can't remember our last name. And he's like, so you don't even know your last name? Get in the car. And so we get in the car, and we're driving, and I am dead. I just know it. And we get to the police station, and I actually had two older brothers that could be rowdy. So when the call came in to my mom and dad, my mom said, leave her there. No lie. And my dad said, we're going to get her. And so even though I wasn't following the biblical Jesus, I didn't even know him. I just knew he was checking boxes and I wasn't making it. This was a big one. But that moment when my dad said, we're going to get her, I thought, oh, later I realized that was grace. That was grace. And so I wish I could tell you that was the only thing. It wasn't. And I'm not going to bore you with my growing up, but there was a lot of stuff there. And then I wish I could tell you that, you know, I'm free from that. But let's just talk about 3 weeks ago, shall we? Anybody know this sign? Anybody from South Weber in here? Frontage Road? What is this? Right? So I'm driving to work, and if you know anything about this place, you know Pastor Roy, he shared before, what he hates is people who are late. I live 3 miles from the church, and I'm pushing it every day. This shows up. The person in front of me is not turning. I'm like, turn already. What is wrong with you? Turn. And I look up. I'm like, what? What is that? There's nobody even here. And as soon as I said it, I thought, oh, that ain't good. That is not good. And that's why I don't have a WHC bumper sticker on my car. In fact, your whole staff here has a problem with road rage. So I'm just going to say, right then, I thought, you're even talking about this. What's wrong with you? So we're all in this together is kind of what I'm trying to say. So we know who we are in ourselves, the change we can experience. Great, but how? Oftentimes you'll see things either on TV or Instagram or whatever. This change can happen. Buy this for $5.99 or $10.99 or try this for 40 days. You know, I maybe get in like 3 days. It doesn't happen. And so let's look and see if we can do a but how journeying through God's word. First, let's look at the organic change that happens in nature. We all want the ability to change, and God is a God of change. Even if we don't like change, which many don't, it's still going to change. It's inevitable. Change happens. Seeds grow, right? They grow in amazing places, whether a bird, you know, went by and dropped a seed or you planted it with your very fingers, with a wind blew, whatever it is. I have seen some things growing in southern Utah out of a crack, and it's beautiful. I just think only God can do that. So it happens. It's internal. The change that happens in nature and also in us is deep. It's at the root level. It's not out here. It's not sometimes what we gauge as maturity, okay? It starts at the very root. And it's singular. It produces one fruit with complex characteristics. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, but it's got all those characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But it's still one. Now, the Holy Spirit does give other gifts of leadership and teaching and hospitality. We're not talking about that. That's all used and given to us as well. This is for everybody because it's character changes. It's changes that happen inside our heart. And it's gradual. Fruit doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. Don't get frustrated. Don't think this should be this way, this should be this way. Just like Giorgio said in the message, right? It was gradual. He trusted Jesus. He started praying. He started reading his Bible. It's gradual. I would like to show you a video, actually. Let's do a video that shows change, and I want you to really watch and see if you notice some things that happen. It's a quick video. Let's watch that. 40 days for one strawberry. But did you notice what was going on inside of there? Did you see the bug flying around? Did you notice that the blossom had to die so the fruit could be born out? So it is in our lives. Things happen. Tragic things, hard things. I know some of you are here today thinking, I don't know if I can get through today. God is with you. Change is coming. And you will get through. Just like that strawberry blossomed at some point, it took time. So we know that's nature's changes, and we can kind of relate to that. But what about us? What about inside the spiritual change in us? How do we, like, engage that? How does that start to happen? Well, first, we recognize our need for supernatural change. It's not about how hard we try. I mean, I don't know how many of you are doing that. I do it all the time. No, it's not about us. It's about something mysterious, supernatural. We respond. We realize we need this. We hear about this Jesus and the gospel of who he is, and we respond to that. We say, yes, Jesus. Yes, I may not have it all figured out. I have a bunch of junk from the past, and yet I'm going to trust what you're telling me. You're telling me that you came and lived and died and rose again so that I could be free and have a relationship with you, with God, and not be alone and not keep working it on my own. So that's what we do. We respond and say, yes, forgive me. Come and live into my life. And as soon as we do that, we receive. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God, the Spirit of God coming to live inside of us. Based on the Holy Spirit, I know there are people in the room just like I was, and maybe I grew up not knowing the biblical Jesus, like I said, and the Holy Spirit was something completely different to me. There may be some of you watching, or you're in this room and you're like, I don't know anything about any of this. I'm just here because I feel like I'm supposed to be here and I don't know. So let's look at what the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking, okay? And he's talking to his disciples, and he knows that he's going to leave, and he doesn't want them to be afraid. And he's explaining, you're not going to be alone. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Remember that. Never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So what he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit has always been a part, right? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. From creation, we read about how they're together. And throughout all creation in the Old Testament, all the way up to Christ being here himself. But the role of the Holy Spirit was to come upon people and give them power to do whatever God was calling them to do or to speak the way that God wanted them to speak or to act. And then he would leave and they would just be who they are. But we live in a time when he will be in us. The book of Acts tells us that the Holy Spirit came and now indwells us. At the moment we receive Jesus and we let it all go, he comes to live inside of us. That's how the character starts changing. That's how the growth starts happening, again, at that root level. And so we recognize, we respond, we receive, but then we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is trustworthy. And I will tell you this, the way we remember is sometimes painful because the Holy Spirit usually comes and comforts us and grows us in times that are trials. For instance, I'm going to share one with you. There's been about three times in my life that I have really needed and recognize the Holy Spirit. I was in my early 30s, and I had just realized all of this. I had done all of this and received Jesus. And I wish I could tell you that from that moment on, if things got squeezy or crazy or tense, I could just say, oh, well, God's got this and I'm fine. Well, that's not what happened. On this day, we had just moved into a new neighborhood. I had a 5-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son. And so we said, hey, we're running to Home Depot. You guys just wait here in the house. They were going to play with a certain neighbor, but Perry and Hannah were going to be together. We come home, and there's Perry, but there's no little blonde-haired girl that's 5. And we're calling for her, and we're looking through the house, and we go knock on the neighbor's house where we thought she might be, and she is nowhere, and I am in the middle of the street losing my stuff. Okay? It wasn't pretty. It was like, ha, 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 top of my lungs. Freaking out. I knew her little face was going to be on a milk carton. And my husband said to me, you have to calm down. And that's all it took. It was as if I saw and heard at the same time. And it was very strange because what I saw right then was a time when I was about 19. I was at Pineview Reservoir, again, drinking too much and not living a life that provides freedom. And off the boat, I went down into the water. And I just knew I was drowning. And I thought, this is it. This is it. And the next thing I remember, waking up in my friend's car, and she's driving us down Ogden Canyon. And you know, I didn't think about that again until that moment. And it was so fast. And here's what I heard. I was with you then. I am with you now. It's going to be okay. I can't explain that. All I know is the peace that I felt in that moment was mysterious, beautiful, supernatural, and I just calmed down. I just thought, okay, God, you do have this. But you have to remember that because it's not just one or two things. In life, we have tragic moments, we have scary moments. I will tell you that she came running out of the other neighbor's house, and I wished I'd had the control I'm telling you I had. I don't know if she got this or not, but I was just like, you weren't where you're supposed to be. Anyway, think of a time and remember how trustworthy he is and use that going forward. So the process of change, how do we initiate that? First, you gotta leave your dead past behind. And I know it's hard because there's things in my life, there's things in your life that the enemy wants to use to remind you, you are not worthy, you are whatever this is, and no to that. What is it that's killing you? What is it that's killing your growth right now? Is it something on that list? Is it a part of the spirit you need to develop? I don't know what it is, but how many gardeners do we have in here? Okay, a few. The shears, right? You know what happens. You have got to go out and cut those dead vines. You've got to snip off or deadhead, as my mom used to say, deadhead those flowers. We've got to do that so that the healthy fruit can grow. Otherwise, it's sucking the energy out of the vine. It's sucking the energy out of the plant. You know, Christ didn't come and die and rise again so we could just keep on keeping on. Let's look here what it says in Galatians. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. It is clear. That is why he came. So whatever you got going on, mental note, I am surrendering it. I'm giving it to Jesus. I'm going to nail it to the cross and I got to let it go. Next, stay connected to God daily. And I know it would be really nice if we had a checklist, but we don't. Here's what we have, though. Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Again, a checklist would be nice, but it's not required. The only thing we need is this, God's word, our prayers, and faith that he is with us and he'll get us through. I'm going to give you a couple verses that have helped me over the years to stay connected to God daily. You know, they often talk about, hey, just flip the script or think outside the box or, you know, there's a lot of ways people meditate on this. Well, everything we've got is in God's word. Here's from Philippians. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When those thoughts, when those feelings, when those actions start warring, like Paul said, they're going to war against each other, try to do this. Even if it's just to think of your favorite, most beautiful camping site, or your most valued memory of your family, or sometimes it's just enough to say Jesus, just say his name. That encompasses all of this. Another one, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's why we come here, right? We sing and we worship, and it doesn't have to just be here, you know, in my car. It's not always negative. Sometimes I'm listening to good spiritual music and I'm singing it. And then this part, gratitude, right? We hear a lot about having gratitude. Well, yeah, let's just do that. Let's just give thanks to God for all that he's given us. And even in the trial, try to find something that you can be thankful for. And lastly, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. And that's out of Colossians. We weren't meant to do this alone. We need to be there for one another. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. It's not us judging each other. It's us coming alongside and saying, I love you no matter what you're going through. And I'm here to help you. Can I just sit by you? And I'm sorry you're struggling. It's why we have things called small groups. We have a place here called Celebrate Recovery. You have family and friends and each other. Let's do this for each other. Even Paul. So Paul, we've learned over these past several weeks, right? He was a Pharisee. He had all the laws and he knew what he was doing until he met Jesus. And suddenly he's like, I don't know. I hate doing what I do. I don't do what I want to do. For Paul, he was warring. And if he can be honest about it, and he can tell us that, I think we can tell one another and journey and help each other through that. So bottom line, works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. It's a battle and it's on, but there is hope. Here's works of the flesh, everybody, right? This is not in and of itself bad. Works aren't always bad, but when they become mundane, when they fail to really provide fruit. I mean, this guy, I'm thinking, and hey, all of you treadmillers out there, I gotcha. But seriously, when you're under the law and you're saying, I said I'd be on my treadmill 2 hours a day, morning and night, and you forget that you've got a whole world around you, that's part of being under the law. And God has so much more for us. He has adventure. You can still get a great workout, be with community, see what God has prepared for you. Look around. Don't get caught up in doing the do, like Roy said today, just because it's what we do. God has so much more for us. So there's two strategies for change as we wrap up, and only one works, and it's really our decision. It's your decision what you want to do with this. Me trying harder with me, myself, and I, and that is, right? I could try harder, and I could get that sticker on my car. I'll work on that. But me relying more on the Father, Son, and Spirit to transform me internally, to supernaturally show me what grace is and what mercy is and what loving others is about, that's the one I'm going to bet on. Here's a final verse from Jesus, and I think it applies today because it's just all about the fruit and who really is in control. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. To those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Really, we're helpless without him. And why not? He's our creator. He made us. He knows what's best for us. Big idea today, fruit grows only when connected to the vine. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know where your journey is. I don't know if you're struggling with something from the first list, or you're struggling because maybe there's a characteristic in that fruit of the Spirit that you want to develop. Or if you're just here and watching today and you're thinking, I don't even know. I'm just here. And the first step you need to take is that surrender and recognizing your need. But I know who knows. God knows. And He's with us and He's for us. And He is never going to leave us. So I encourage you, as we pray now, just surrender what it is to Him. Realize that He loves you and He's got great plans. Let's pray. And so, God, we do trust You. We thank You for being a God that is so big and powerful and majestic, and yet You are so loving and kind and tender. And we thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for Your life, Your death, Your resurrection. And in this moment, there may be somebody out there that needs to just say, I surrender all to You, Jesus. I give my life to You. I don't know what that means. Forgive me. And Holy Spirit, we pray You do what only You can do. Show us, in and of ourselves, that You love us, that You're with us, and that You'll never leave us. We give You all the glory. And we say it in Your name, Jesus. Amen.